Hi, this is Randy Eccles with Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS, and I'm happy to have a couple guests here with me today, Ruby Mendenhall and Robin Wilson. Thanks for joining us. Just before we get started with what we want to talk about today, can you each tell us a little bit about yourself, starting with Ruby?
I am a professor in sociology and African American studies at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. And then I'm also the assistant dean for diversity and democratization of health innovation at Carroll Illinois College of Medicine.
Robin?
I'm Robin Wilson. I am coming out of the College of Law at the University of Illinois, where I teach family law and bioethics and do some work on law and religion. And then I'm the new director of the Institute of Government and Public Affairs for the University of Illinois system, which means I help faculty make their work and their research count in the world and have a kind of impact for the people of Illinois.
You have a special project that you're starting, and can you tell me what that is?
Well, Ruby and I kind of hatched this up together, but the idea was to borrow a phrase from Ruby, an insight that we can get policy from people. And so we've recruited 17 citizen scientists around the state who are as diverse as you can possibly get. We have everybody from small business owners to parents to retirees to folks that are in school to farmers to a gentleman who's in prison. We're asking these folks to kind of tell us, how is it going out there? A lot of times, you well know, Randy, that we'll make policy, and we don't always go back to see how well it's working on the ground. And our citizen scientists, because they're spread across the state, they come from so many different sort of perspectives and life experiences, I think they can help us get a 360-degree handle on whether that policy is really working for the people of Illinois.
And I guess one example of it was the person with the hand-washing stations, how those weren't available. So it, as Robin said, it's really to capture individuals' lived experiences during a pandemic, but also it's just not the pandemic, right? We also have social unrest. We have in Black and brown communities, high levels of violence, and how that's impacting people economically, emotionally, on all levels.
I love the term citizen scientists. I've heard citizen journalists before. What are you expecting to get back from the citizen scientists?
Well, so on the weekly, they tell us about their experiences, their disappointments sometimes. They tell us about what they did to overcome some of the challenges. What are they relying on? And that's true for lots of us. And yet we see kind of people thriving. I learn something every time I read the entries. And I kind of weirdly come away hopeful. And I think we got a hope deficit in America. So at the very least, if they can help us fill in that hope deficit, then we did something right.
Do they ever do a spoken journal?
Well, I should tell you, we got folks writing in Spanish. We have a member of our team who is an attorney from Colombia, the country, translating that for us. So if you're a member of the Latino community, we can have this here on a web page. People can write longhand. They can send us emails. They can record themselves talking, take pictures of their experiences. Patrick Skates is in down part of the state, a farmer we just picked up, sending pictures of like this big machinery. They actually are working on the farm with him now. And so he was sort of sharing that experience. So we've recruited a young man, Marcus, who hasn't done it yet, but he's got drones. Can't wait till we get like, how's this going for people?
Yeah, and so Marcus, and that she mentioned in Chicago, talks a lot about with the social unrest, that there were stores that were closed. There was a Walmart that was closed in one neighborhood, and it hasn't reopened yet, and talks about how then the residents have to go to other neighborhoods for both food and medicine and other things, right? So again, that's kind of the lived experience of what it means at the intersection of a pandemic, and then also to have social unrest, and what happens when the physical spaces, the built environment is changed, and what does that mean for individuals in terms of extra levels of stress.
How have you yourselves been coping with coronavirus?
I'm African American, so I'm just not coping with Corona, right? It's all the social unrest, and it's the police murders, and it's other things. And it's been really challenging. And I told people, I think I probably have like about 500 flowers around, because that's kind of one of my coping mechanisms is to garden. And it's, I'm really peaceful, and you know, just being in nature, the color green and the different colors of flowers is it's been very helpful. And then also just kind of talking with people about the stress and how it's being manifested in ways that we usually don't talk about, right? We don't talk about kind of feeling tired, the tears. At one point I was sending emails to people like, I'm in tears, I can't believe this stuff is happening. So those are just some of the ways that I cope.
And you would think with how it's been going that it wouldn't continue to happen, but it shows how persistent it is. Robin, what about you?
We did this training for our citizen scientists. By the way, we don't mean citizen necessarily. We mean everybody who's a resident in Illinois. So it's not really about status or anything like that, but it's a cute term. It's memorable, like the citizen journalist.
Right. Right. And sometimes we'll say citizen scientists, community scientists, right, to indicate right. It's inclusive, right? It's an inclusive term. Yeah.
And we did a training for folks, but what we took really seriously the idea that people are opening their hearts and they're sort of sharing and opening their experiences, and even that can be painful. So we reached out to Karen Sims, who does the trauma resiliency work, a lot of it in Champaign, and she did these two sessions for us where she trained our citizen scientists, just talked to them about like those kind of circles of influence, circles of control, what can you do right now? And she calls it a kind of psychological first aid. And one of the things that it's really, really helped me do is she said, get a hobby. And so I have a dock, and it got taken in a hurricane, and I've been rebuilding it. My neighbor came over, and the funniest thing is in the middle of COVID, I've kind of fallen in love with my neighbors, because they're just a generosity of spirit at a time when we feel so alone, and that they'd come over and make sure I could do that well and do it safely. My kind of psychological self-aid has been to kind of learn from my 70-year-old neighbor who used to be a kind of developer. Well, how do you take this circular saw and cut this? So I'm expanding. I'm trying to expand.
And then, Robin, the term to you use was mastery, right? Like to get a hobby and then to put your energy and thoughts into mastery. And many of us also know that it's flow, right? It's something you love. It's so fulfilling, and time passes, and how that allows your mind to rest, kind of builds up resiliency.
What do you hope the result of this journaling ends up being?
Earlier today, I gave a presentation to the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus, and just kind of talking about health disparities and what we need to do. And so as Robin talked about, this idea of policy by the people, policy for the people, and what is it based on individuals' lived experiences that they need to have in order to thrive? And then how can we take that and amplify their voices and get that communication and connection to legislators, right, who have the power and the ability to improve it for everyone, not just for certain groups, because a lot of what we share is wanting to be well. We talk about this at the College of Medicine, right? Everybody wants to thrive. Everyone wants to be well. Everyone wants for their loved ones to live out their full lives. My wish is that what people need, what they say they need in the middle of a pandemic, social unrest, all of this, that there are ways as a society that we can meet those needs.
Yeah, and I'll say really just a reverberation of that. I can journal without this project, right? You can journal, Randy, without this project. But what I think it does is it sort of creates a common community of people who are struggling together and learning from each other. I had somebody write me today and say, I didn't see so-and-so's entry. Is everything okay? Second big thing I would say is, you know, we have to remember University of Illinois is a land-grant institution. We own the whole existence to the people of Illinois. And I kind of think of this work of policy from people done rigorously, you know, systematically. That's why we need like 20 folks, not two. So we can get a bigger sort of bandwidth and bigger idea of what's happening. But it's our job to return this investment in us back to the people of Illinois. And we have amazing talent. I mean, just getting to work with Ruby has been one of the privileges of my career, and just enjoyable, frankly. And if we can get together and enjoy that time and get some positive energy rolling, and it all comes back to the people of Illinois, so they have better life chances, you know, better chances at American dream, at thriving, then we ought to do that. That's exactly what the university is about.
Is there someone within or without this program that you think is making life better in Illinois for us?
Randy, COVID hit so many people in congregate care, and then nobody could go see them. You can't go inside the prison so easily, okay? So we have a gentleman writing from within the prison. Have a woman whose brother had sort of like severe autism. And so he's been in an institution, a facility for a long time. And she writes these amazing accounts about, he doesn't understand why I can't come see him all the time now because of his own, you know, pre-existing challenges. I think every one of these people are making an impact, but just trying to lift the people around them. They all just come with a different set of perspectives. We have a gentleman named Lloyd DeGrand, who's a photojournalist. It's so moving. You know what Lloyd does? I met him by riding around on the night ministry van in Chicago, which is one of these street med teams. He just takes a homeless person to McDonald's and gets him a meal with the gift cards that we have for the project. And he gives them a piece of paper and they write down what it's been like for them. And then he takes a picture of it and sends it to us. So Lloyd has taken a whole community of people that nobody pauses to talk to. And he's made their experiences tactile and available and accessible to the rest of us. That's a big lift of people in the world, an entire community on Lloyd's shoulders.
They're doing amazing work. And then also, I would say the essential workers, right? Like, we're very privileged that we don't have to be on the front lines like that. And we get much, much more pay, right, that they don't get. So I really appreciate that. I always acknowledge them. And then also, and I'll just say, and this is because I was at the hearing, right? And I appreciate the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus and how they're trying to think about what can be done around homelessness, right? We talked about that as an important issue and what policies are needed to support those individuals and others. I think we all are trying to do what we can because it's very deadly. Emotionally, we're being impacted by losing loved ones, not being able to be by their bedside. My uncle that I love so much passed away and I wasn't able to go to his funeral and it kind of affected me emotionally. So I would say all of us, I think we're in this together and we're really trying to come up with solutions to literally save our lives.
Anything I didn't ask that you'd like to tell us about?
We're getting ready to launch soon the Health Maker Lab competition where anyone in the state of Illinois could be children, they just need approval from their parents, can submit an idea around health and wellness. And then we have judges kind of select the top 20. And then we have the Makeathon where we're giving 10 individuals or groups $10,000 worth of resources to turn their idea into a prototype of for-profit or not-for-profit business. And so as Robin said, right, the land grant institution in the state of Illinois. And that's one way where we're trying to democratize health innovation. So I hope your listeners who are hearing, I think we're going to start next month with open submissions. So I just encourage you to please, any ideas that you know that you think of when you look around your world and it's like the world needs to be like this or what we need is this, feel free to submit those ideas.
Ruby Mendenhall, thank you so much for joining Community Voices. And Robin Wilson, you too, thank you for the information. It sounds like a project that has a high reward available to it. And I'm looking forward to read through some of the entries you've gotten already and the ones that'll come. So this is Community Voices. Thanks for joining us on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.